day, Lord, glorious day, Lord Jesus. We honor you today. We celebrate and praise because you have given us life and hope and joy in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this time of the year. Lord Jesus, thank you for your suffering for us. Oh, may we understand the depths of your suffering that we might have life and joy. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for your commitment, your surrender to die for us and in our place. So, Lord, today we thank you for this chance to celebrate, to praise, and honor you, and to give thanks with our lips and praise your name for all you do. Lord, we thank you for those who are here with us today, who are guests. We pray for those who are strangers to the grace of God. We pray that today they might hear the word of God and that they might respond and say yes to Jesus. So Lord, now bless this time we have together in your word, and may you be our teacher, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see you. If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 4. If you're a guest, I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored to have you here today as we continue to think about a season for everything. We're talking about God's creation of time and how time affects every single one of us in our lives. We begin Holy Week this morning, Palm Sunday. So I'm going to ask you to not only find your place in Galatians chapter 4, but I'd like for you also to find your place in John chapter 12 in your Bibles. If you'll take your copy of God's Word, find John chapter 12. Also, that is the story, John the Apostle's account of Palm Sunday, and we want to read that together in just a moment. As we think about the coming of Jesus and the season of Jesus' sufferings so that we might have life and hope in Jesus. So if you have your copy of God's Word, if you'll stand now with me, Galatians chapter 4, we'll read together the Word of God. So church, hear the Word of the Lord, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And then if you'll also go to John chapter 12, John chapter 12, we'll be reading beginning at verse number 12. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, John 12:12, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. These things his disciples did not understand at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also the people went out and met him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him. Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. Now this is the focus of what I want to see, make a point with you today about. And Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So this morning I'm going to take my time to take you through the phrases of Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Because in these verses we find what is the heart of the coming of Jesus, why he came. And the focus this morning that I'm going to be sharing with you is this: Jesus Christ came into the world at just the right time. Jesus Christ came into the world at just the right time. Perhaps you've never thought about why Jesus came when he did in the first century, why that was important, why that was significant. But Paul reminds us here, as he's writing to this Galatian church, he reminds us of the importance as we're thinking about time together. Now we come to Easter time. We come to this Holy Week. This is our opportunity to see again the powerful truth that God controls all of time. You see, your time is time God has given to you, as we've talked in the past. Your days and my days, we are spending them day by day. We have a number of days given to us, so we are taught, teach us to number our days. But today our focus is Jesus Christ our Lord, and how he came in time, listen, and how he managed, redeemed, used his time. Jesus was wise about his time in order to accomplish God's purpose of his dying on the cross for us. So I'm going to take you through the phrases of Galatians 4:4-5. I think it's the best way to outline what I want to say to you today, to give us this focus on Jesus Christ and his coming. So it begins by, but when the fullness of time, when the fullness of the time came. You see, Jesus' coming was at just the right time. At the right time, God sent his son. When everything was complete and in order, when everything was set that must be set, when everything was right, at the exact moment set by God in eternity, Jesus Christ came for the first time into history, into time. The creator of time, Jesus Christ, now is sent into time. What a powerful truth that is. But when the fullness of time, these words, the fullness of time, when time was right, when it was just right, when everything was completed that must be completed, Jesus came for the first time. He did not come at the end of the days of the patriarchs. He did not come in Moses' time. He did not come during the time of the kings. He did not come during the time of Daniel and the Babylonian captivity of the Jewish people. He did not come during that time of silence. Do you realize in your Bible, from the book of Malachi, the last Old Testament book in your Bible, to Matthew, there's a 400-year period where there is no word from God. He did not come during that time. But he came in the days of Roman domination of the world. He came when the Greek language was almost universal all around the world as the business language among all peoples. He came when there were roadways to most parts of the world. And he came, and as we'll talk about in a moment, he was born in insignificance in a little place called Bethlehem. But when the fullness of the time came, now in verse 3 of Galatians 4, we see the condition describing, Paul's writing to this church, reminding them of what they were like, what we're all like before we're saved. He's describing the world and the condition of the world before we are saved by Jesus. He says in verse 3, so also we, Christians, before we were saved, while we were children, we were held in bondage. What held us in bondage? We were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. That's the way it is when you're born into the world. You do what the world says for you to do. You live like the world. You have the values of the world. You have the desires of the world. You're conformed to the world. You want to look like the world. You want to talk like the world. You want to be popular. You want to be accepted by the world. The world demands conformity. If you're going to make it in the world, you got to be like the world. You got to look like the world. You got to smell like the world. But when the fullness of the time came, when the fullness of the time came, when all of the people of the world living under the domination of the worldly system, God sent his son into the worldly system, into time, in the fullness of time. I don't want you to miss this. John chapter 3, verse 17 is the verse right after, probably the most famous verse to us all in the Bible. John 3, 16, Jesus said it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And then the Lord goes on to say, the Lord Jesus said, for God did not send the son into the world to judge the world. In Jesus' first coming, it was not a coming to judge. The second coming will be a judgment. But that the world might be saved through him. It's important for us to see in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent his son. The word sent used in verse 4 is a word that we use for the word apostle. Apostle means to be sent. Jesus came on mission. His first coming was to save the world from sin. His first coming was to die for the sin of mankind. We know the whole of the gospel, but Paul's making a summary here. And at this time of Easter, all of us must remember, at the right time, God sent his son on mission into this world. Paul says in John 8, 42, this is Jesus speaking, I proceeded from the Father. I've come from God. For I have not even come on my own, but he sent me. You see, God the Father who loves the world sent his son. Jesus said in his prayer to the Father in John 17, these words are very important. You should go and read these sometime on your own, John 17, 8. Jesus said to the Father, the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, talking about his disciples. They received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. That's what it takes for us to come to know Jesus Christ. We must believe that God the Father sent the Son in order for him to be the Savior of the world. It is the sending of the Son by God the Father that initiates our salvation and our grace in God. It is the sending of Jesus Christ into the world, captured just like us in time and in space. So God at the right time sent his son. But you go to the next phrase in verse 4. This is the second principle. At the right time, God sent his son born of a woman. Jesus has something in common with all of us who are here today. We've all been born into this world. We all experience the same way of entering into the world. We're born into this world, born of a woman. That means Jesus understands all the limitations of living as a full human being. He understands what it means to get tired. He understands what it means to grow up. We spoke last week about the season of young age. Some of you are still living in the season of young age. The Lord Jesus started as a baby. He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with knowledge and with favor with God and men. He grew in his knowledge of God's word. But he was born into this world. He had the one who created time now lives in time, limited. Days and nights come in the life of Jesus. He has to go to sleep. He has to eat food. He experiences the pressure of temptation. His heart is broken by the sadness and brokenness of the world. He was born of a woman. He is one of us. He understands what it feels like to be fully human. That's why we're called to go to our high priest, the Lord Jesus, because he feels what you feel. What you're going through right now, Jesus feels it. He understands it. That's why we must go to him. That's why you must talk to him. Talk to him about the way you feel. He was born of a woman. At the right time, as we celebrate at Christmas, the Lord Jesus was born into this world in that obscure place in Bethlehem. There he was born in that limited, filthy stable. not with any resources of anything. There wasn't even a place for him. Born of a woman. Understanding what it is to have a family, to live in a family, and to struggle with people's opinions about you and your family. Oh, Jesus knew. At the right time, God sent his son. At the right time, God sent his son born of a woman. Third, Paul says to us in chapter 4, verse 4 of Galatians, at the right time, God sent his son born under the law. Notice he says it twice. Born of a woman. Second, born under the law. Oh, the Lord Jesus came into the world just like we are. You see, whether mankind in the world today knows it or not, all people born into the world are subject to the law of God. The Ten Commandments still stand. The law of God still says this. You must obey the law to be perfect. You must have perfect obedience. If you do not perfectly obey the law of God, you must die. You must die. There is judgment and condemnation for disobedience to any part of the law of God. It must be obeyed perfectly. At the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. You see, Jesus, he went to synagogue. Jesus memorized and learned the scriptures and the word of God. Jesus went to festival. He went to all of the high days on the Jewish calendar. And Jesus lived perfectly by the law. In Romans chapter 8, I give you these two verses. In Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, we have these words from Paul. I focus on the last part in verse number 4, where it talks about that in order that the requirement of the law be fulfilled, here's the picture. God sent his son. You see, Jesus perfectly lived by the law. He lived by the law and became our righteousness. He died for our sins as a righteous man without any sin. And if we believe on him by faith, we experience something unbelievable. We experience the righteousness of God being put to our account. We're not righteous. We're sinful. We're wicked without God. But Jesus lived a life of, he fulfilled the requirement of the law. What was it? Perfect obedience. You must obey the law of God to live. And Jesus came, born of a woman. God sent his son at just the right time. He was born into this world as a human just like us, and he was under the same law of God. He had an accountability to live by the law of God. And the powerful thing is this, that as he lived under the law, he did what I want you to see is the fourth element of this in verse number 5. He came in the fullness of time to redeem those who are under the law. Now we're talking about this word again, redeem. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about redeem your time. The word means buy back your time, buy up what's left. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he redeemed us. He redeemed us. We seemed worthless and of no value in our sin, but he died. He died. And redemption is now ours because of the cross of Jesus Christ. This is where I want you to come back to these words we read just a moment ago. Because Paul is saying here, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us. That was the sending purpose of Jesus. He came not only to give us the words of God, but to redeem those who are in their sin so that they might live again. Now, notice again in your Bible, John chapter 12, the words of Jesus. He says, the hour has come. On that road, that dusty road, while everybody's celebrating, crying, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The praising is going on. The people are celebrating. These Greeks want to come and meet Jesus. Instead of responding to the disciples' request, he now says, at this very moment, at that very point, as they were making their way to Jerusalem for Passover, he says, again, John 12, 23, the hour has come. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Oh, I want you to think for just a moment with me now. He says the hour has come. If I took you back through the book of John, we'd read this theme all the way through it. One day Jesus goes with his mother and his family to a wedding. In Cana of Galilee, they ran out of wine. His mother came and asked if he could do something. And what did Jesus say? Woman, my hour has not yet come. And his mother said, do whatever he says for you to do. But my hour has not yet come. In John chapter 8, his brothers, who were unbelieving, who did not believe that he was the Son of God, the promised one sent, they said, well, look, it's time for the festival. Why don't you go show yourself to everybody and declare who you are? And he said to his brothers in John chapter 8, my hour has not yet come. But on this road, on Palm Sunday, on this day as he made his way on that donkey, as the people celebrated, as the branches are laid in front of him, in all the confusion and the chaos of everybody going up the hill to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, he now says, my hour has come. You see, the Lord Jesus was very aware of the hours and the time of his life. He recognized that his time was coming for him to do what God called him to do. In fact, in John chapter 13, verse number 1, just before we read about the Lord's Supper, we read these words, John 13, 1, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So we see, as Jesus began to meet with his disciples there for Passover, he knew that his hour had come. And in John chapter 17, verse number 1, as Jesus begins to pray to God the Father, this great prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. You see, we take time and we break it down into parts. Time flows for us very cleanly because we have years. And those years are made up by months. And those months are made up by days. And those days are made up by hours. Jesus now says, not my month has come, not my year has come, not any of these others, but he says, my hour has come. So now we find Jesus entering into this week, the greatest time of suffering in human history. You know, all over the church, we've placed these little booklets for you. We do this for a reason. I hope that you'll participate with the church in doing this, because all of us this week should think a little bit more deeply about the suffering of Jesus. You see, this week is the season of suffering in the life of Jesus. No intensity of suffering can compare with it. I'm not saying this to be mean-hearted, but instead of complaining about your suffering or the suffering of someone else you know or the suffering in the world, turn your mind this week to consider this. Jesus said, the hour has come that the Son of Man will be glorified. And this little sheet will give you day by day the full week description of everything that happened before the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he also went into the garden, didn't he? He prayed, not my will, but your will be done. He prayed in such a way in that hour of great temptation. Am I going to obey God? Am I going to do what he's called me to do? You must think about this week, church, the importance of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we learn here in Galatians 4. The season of suffering came in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially this last week of his life. The hour has come. The hour has come. So Paul says in Titus 2:4, he gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed. He gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. You see, the law of God, as I've said before, helps us know our sin. Paul says in Romans 7:7, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. You see, the law says, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The law of God says, this is the law. And I say, oh, woe is me, I've sinned. I failed the law of God. I must have a redeemer. I'm guilty of sin. I'll be judged if someone doesn't step in my place. And so we read these wonderful words, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem us who were under the law, so that we might become adopted children of God. You see, the Lord Jesus has come so that you and I might be saved. So as we finish today, I want to give you something I hope you'll think about this week. First of all, we should praise God the Father every day for sending Jesus Christ the Son. Would you agree? Amen. We should praise God the Father. Oh, what a wonderful way to start your prayer. Just like Paul, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everything we have, everything we enjoy comes from the Lord Jesus. Everything that we celebrate, he is the one who saves us. He is the one who died for us. He is the one who suffered for us. The intensity of the Lord's suffering, may it be something you consider carefully this week. And remember, Jesus became one of us. He was born of a woman. He was born under the same conditions of the law, the demands of the law to live and obey. And he did. And he did it perfectly so that we might believe on him and be saved. But the best of all is this, that today is the right time for you to be saved. Today is the right time for you to repent of your sins if you've backslidden in God. You know your condition with God today. Look, you don't need a preacher to stand up here and describe whether or not you're right with God today. You don't need me to get up here and give you examples. You know whether your heart's far from God. You know whether you have any prayerfulness in your life or if you're living in prayerlessness. You know if you're gripped by fear and doubt and unbelief. You know if you've spent your time criticizing everybody else rather than praying for others in their need. You know your condition. Today is your opportunity. Today is your chance. You see, Jesus started his ministry in Mark chapter 1. He uses actually the same phrase that Paul is using here in Galatians chapter 4. Paul uses this phrase, but when the fullness of the time came. Jesus said in Mark 1 as he started his ministry, the time is fulfilled. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's the message of Jesus. And it's the message for all of us in this day in which we live. Repent of your sin and believe in the good news. Believe in the good news that Jesus has come. Believe in the good news that he can save you and change you in your pitiful, desperate conditions. Call upon the Lord and you will be saved. Whosoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. How else can I say it today? You must call on the Lord. Today is the opportunity you have. Today, you do not, may the preacher say it again, you may not have tomorrow. Oh, the sadness of those who live their life tapping their foot, waiting around as if tomorrow is your answer. You only have today. So what will you do in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Some of you far away, you know all about Jesus, but you don't talk to him very much. You don't speak to him much anymore. Others of you, you are strangers to the grace of God. All of your family may know Jesus, but do you know Jesus? That's what really matters at the end of the day. So today, as Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. It's an acceptable time. It's your opportunity to say yes to God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I've appealed to you as best I can. May the Holy Spirit of God now take his word and apply it to our lives. Thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for Paul's description for us of these glorious truths that we've seen today. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for dying for us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your intense suffering on our behalf. Forgive us when we're not moved in our heart anymore when we consider your suffering. Forgive us when we're not living as we should live to honor you. Oh, Lord, some of us are far away from God. How I pray that we might come home, that we might come back to you, that we might repent of our sins. Others must repent of their sins for the first time and believe on you to be saved. So, Lord, today, I ask that you would speak to our hearts. I pray for those who need to make spiritual decisions, and they need to make them public. They need to come and say, I need to be right with God, and I need to do this today in front of the church. I pray for others who believe this is the place God wants them to be in service for ministry, to labor with us here in the gospel, that they'll be able to come this morning and say, yes, it's time for me to come. For me to come, my family, myself, to be a part of this church. And for the rest of us to make the decision that we need to make this week. Oh, may we see how time is short. Thank you, Lord, for suffering in the season of suffering so intensely that we might have life. Speak to us now. May the decisions be made that need to be made to honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.